If you've got your Bibles, you might like to come. We're going through the book of Acts. This is our third year. Book of Acts. And if you'd like to come with me to chapter 16, we might be parked in chapter 16 for a month. So chapter 16. And I just want to, a short little passage here. Verse 6, and it says this: Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision. During the night. I think we've already touched upon that this morning. Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia, which is modern-day Europe, standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Isn't that incredible with Vince this morning? After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So that's our passage this morning. If you could join with me in prayer, could we pray? Our God, you are a great God. You are a royal God. You are a God who loves the world. And you are a God who loves the church. And you call people from your church to the world, to people. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Great God. Awesome God. Majestic God. The God who is Lord. Teach us, inspire us, challenge us, rebuke us, correct us, move us, excite us this morning. We pray in your good name. And we all said, Amen. Amen. I have a question like I usually like to start, and the question is, have you ever experienced a time in your life when you're about to make an important decision and do something based on that decision, but the very last moment you get a check in your spirit? You kind of get the sense that, nah, don't go there. It's almost like you lose a sense of peace over about what you're about to do, and so you back off. Has anybody had that experience? A show of hands. You know? Okay. Let me tell you a time in Ruby's and my life when that was quite clear. Ruby and I, we decided, like Vince this morning, to give a chapter of our lives to living recklessly, dangerously, and radically. You know, so we got married. No. But no, there was a time where we decided to just kind of give a chapter of our lives away and actually go and serve God and his world in another country. So we thought, where should we go and who should we go with? And we knew this organization and we had a lot of respect for them. So we rang them up and we said, oh, look, we would like to join your organization and have you send us to another country in the world. And they were thrilled. I mean, who wouldn't be? And so they said, but there's one proviso. You have to come in, up to Auckland, because we were living in Christchurch, and you have to come up to Auckland and you have to do our orientation course that will last between 4 and 6 months. So we said, no worries, you know. So we packed up. Did we have one child or two then? We had one and pregnant with number two. So we packed up the pregnancy and we packed up the first one. We all jumped on this plane and headed to Auckland, to Landscape Road, to Mount Eden, to do this orientation course. We did the entire 4 to 6 months. Our respect for this outfit grew, and they liked us, believe it or not. And we passed the orientation course, you know. And the day before we were to sign the dotted line, Ruby and I decided to go for a walk. So we went for a walk, and quite independent of each other, we both got a check in our spirit. It was like a heavy weight. It was like we lost our sense of peace about what we were about to do. So we came back to this outfit and said, sorry. And this is after we'd gone through all the hoops and loops. And they just looked at us like we had lost the plot. You know, like you're looking at me now. And they just couldn't believe that this would happen. And we said, look, I'm sorry. We've just lost our sense of peace about this. And so we packed up our bags. We didn't sign the dotted line. And we trucked on back down to Christchurch, absolutely confused. What the heck has God up to? What do we do next? Okay? So anybody relate to that story? You had that experience? Another show of hands, you know? Oh, okay. So I actually think that this is what's happening in this passage this morning in Acts chapter 16. Because you see, Paul, he has come into this momentous discovery about the God he has always believed in. And the discovery was that this God has taken him by surprise. That this God has actually, as he promised he would, has come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And as such, Jesus is the promised returned Messiah. And God had always said that he would come back to his people, the Jews, as Messiah. But as Messiah, this Jesus would not just be the returned, the promised one for the people of Israel, but also the Lord of the earth. And that's why it says in the latter part of Matthew's gospel that all authority in heaven and on earth has now been given to this Jesus now. And Paul made this discovery. It was like a new lens for him. He saw God afresh in a new light. And so when you've made this discovery, I don't know about you, but you just want to tell other people. And so Paul, he decides, well, I'll go into the province of Asia and I'll just tell people in Asia. And he's trucking on, heading into Asia, and then, quite unexpectedly, the Holy Spirit says, don't go. So he backs the truck up. And then he thinks, right, well, I'll go to Bithynia. And Bithynia, by the way, it's about a 200 and 300 K walk. I mean, Dale's doing 100 today. But Paul, he had to, and that's about 3 weeks' travel in Paul's time. And so he gets to Bithynia, and he thinks, I'll go into Bithynia on the right-hand side over here. And again, the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. So he backs up again. Now, when it says in the text that the Holy Spirit said, don't go into Asia, don't go into Bithynia, how did the Holy Spirit do that? Are we told? People? No, we're not told. But I actually think we're told elsewhere how this may have occurred. If you have your Bibles, come with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Okay? Colossians 3, which is to the right of Acts. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And it goes like this. It says, and this is Paul again writing. And it says, Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I'll say it again. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, what does it mean when it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts? The word rule, lock eyes people, come to moi. The word rule in the Greek carries the idea of umpire. In other words, what this text is telling us is that the peace of God can be a decision maker in your life. I mean, umpires make decisions. Think of a sports game. Think of Warriors. Think of Blues, maybe not. Think of Chiefs. I mean, the umpires, they make decisions. So what this text is telling us is that the peace of God, or the lack thereof, can be a decision maker in your heart of hearts. So, when I look at this passage in Acts chapter 16, Paul is wanting to go into Asia to evangelize. And I think he loses his peace about it. So he backs off. Then Paul wants to go into Bithynia, and he doesn't have a sense of peace about it. So he backs off and doesn't go there. Do you know the thing that I like about Paul? Is that Paul doesn't feel that he has to go to everybody. That he has to convert everyone. Are you with me? He can, if he doesn't have a sense of peace, he can back up. Do you know the thing I like about Jesus? When Jesus was walking the earth, he didn't feel he had to convert everybody in his lifetime. You know, there's a passage in John chapter 5 where Jesus goes to a hospice. We have hospices here in South Auckland. Jesus goes to a hospice. There are a lot of sick people. A lot. How many does Jesus go to in John chapter 5 into that hospice? I'll tell you, one. He just goes to one. In other words, Jesus didn't feel he had to go to everybody and convert everyone. Likewise, Paul, if they didn't have a sense of peace about walking towards that person, they backed the truck up. I have a little concern, and my concern is this, that there are some Christians in our world today, in New Zealand and in Auckland, who feel that they have to go to everybody. And it's been my experience that those sorts of people, they get really pushy and confrontational. Ruby and I, 3 weeks ago, we were on a train in Melbourne. And we hopped on this train, and we were heading from the conference centre where we were speaking back to where we were staying. And we were just enjoying the trip. It was an hour train ride. And there was a young woman seated behind us. And in the next stop, a guy got on into our carriage and sat down next to her. The train took off, and a few minutes later, in his very powerful voice, he tried to convert her. And he just went on and on and on. He cornered her. He manipulated her. It was rude. It was a form of abuse. So I put up with it for about 10 minutes. And then I felt I had to do something. So I turned around, and I didn't look at him. I looked at her, and I just said to her, "Are you okay?" Then I said again, "Are you okay?" And I said again, "Are you okay?" And that was enough. I didn't look at him, but it was enough for him to shut up. And you see, people, I have a dream for our church. I have a dream. I have a dream that you and I, that we will become the kind of people who will walk towards some yes and be bold and tell the world and tell some people about Jesus Christ. I have that dream. I live for that dream. I pray about that dream. But I do not have a dream that involves us getting pushy and confrontational. I don't have that dream. That's a nightmare. And so we need to develop what Paul has developed in this text. He didn't get a piece to go here, but he got a piece to go somewhere else. I'll never forget that, you know, when we were living in Mungere Bridge, and I may have shared parts of this story before, and I was just in the supermarket, and the upshot of being in the supermarket, I ended up talking to this person, and she then asked if we could go and have a coffee somewhere. And so we went and found a cafe nearby, and we spoke for about an hour and a half. We talked together, and she was in a wheelchair. And then after an hour and a half of talking, she and I together, she said to me, she said, "Mick, how could God be real? I've been in this wheelchair all my life, and I'm 38. Now, at that moment, I did not have a sense of peace to defend God. I didn't. So do you know what I said to her? I said, "I'm real. And would you like to have another coffee next week?" And we had coffees every week for 2 years. And about after a year or so, she came back to that question. By that time, we had a relationship, so we could handle it. But earlier on, I just didn't have a sense of peace. Are you getting this morning? So, I have a dream that we'll become these highly sensitive people, knowing when to walk towards the lost, the least, and the lonely, but when to back the truck up. And how do you develop that sensitivity? In prayer and practice. In prayer and practice. So, to finish, what happens next in our text? Well, what happens next is Paul gets a vision, a dream in the night. Vince had a vision and a dream in the night. With Vince, the vision and the dream in the night was to go where? To go to Macedonia. That was Paul. What about Vince? The call on his life was to go where? To Thailand. I have a dream. I have a dream for us as a church. And the dream is that God's call will come upon your life. That's my dream. That God's call will come upon your life. That you'll get a sense of your chosenness. That God, I mean, He's put you on this planet for pleasure. Did you know during the week New Zealand was rated the number one country in the world? It was in the Herald. Not that that says anything. But in terms of, I mean, let's be honest. This is a beautiful country. But God has also put us on this planet for a purpose. And He wants to place His call upon your life. Do you know what the research tells us? That in any given average church, only 10% of a congregation can claim the calling that they know that is on their life. Only 10%. And of that 10%, only 1% are actually walking in the calling. Well, I have a dream that we will beat the odds. That we will transcend those statistics. That all of us, each of us, will come into our sense of chosenness. You know, you can't beat that. When you know that God chooses you, oh, that is so special.
that he's placed a call on your life for a particular group. Do you know, that's what is so beautiful about churches. You can get an engineer and they have a heart for transvestites on that road up there. No, I mean it. And you can get an accountant and they have a heart for homeless people. That's their calling. And you get a stay-at-home mum, a grandmum, and she has a heart for kind of streeties that no one else wants to talk to. So she begins a Monday morning coffee session in her local church, and I'm talking about Joan. This is what God wants to do. He laid a call upon Paul, go to Macedonia. He laid a call upon Vince, go to Thailand. And he wants to lay a call on us. It's just great. And it's not going to always happen that we get dreams in the night. Half those dreams, if not 90%, are because of cheesecake. Do you know, God can do it in a myriad of ways. I read this story of this woman, and she was driving to work, and there was heaps of traffic, and she got locked way back in the queue, and there was a red light. So while she was waiting, you know, she took out a dictaphone and a pad, and she started to do some of her work that she does. You know, waiting for the traffic to begin to flow again. And as she was working away, true story, her name is Debbie. As she was doing this, she looked up above the dashboard across the street and saw a building, an apartment building or something, and there was a bag lady seated on the steps. A bag lady. Barefooted, bashed, bruised, you know, beaten up by life and circumstances. A bag lady. She's all alone. She had bags all around her. You know what? You've seen these people. And in that instant, a heartfelt desire welled up within her. And it was like, in that instant, she just, for the rest of my life, I want to give some of my time to those people. And she has. She has. And so God lays on Frank Walton here, one of our elders, a bit of a concern to reach his immediate neighbors. And he's thinking about doing Alpha. We don't know where that will go. But he's got this call on his life. I have a dream that each of us here will get in touch with our sense of chosenness, that God chooses you. And he wants to lay a people group on your heart. He wants God to call upon you about a people group. Be it in our neighborhood, be it in our city, be it overseas. But he wants to put on your heart a call for a people. Oh, when that happens, your heart will never be the same again. Amen? Amen?